to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to jump right in. We skip in the Bible confession today. You'll be all right. That's your Bible. You are what it says you are. You can do what it says you can do. You're a believer, not a doubter. You're a doer, not just a hearer. And your life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You should be in Matthew chapter 7. If you're there, say, I have it. Great. We're going to be looking at verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. We're going to start reading that. 24, and we're going to read it together. So put your good glasses on. Amen. 24, 25, 26, 27. Everything Jesus said. If you got the good Bible, it's in red. Amen. All right, let's begin. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Give God a praise offering for the word. Praise the Lord. So I'm stealing from the subtitle of this section today. And this particular part, we're in this Matthew 7 series. We're at the end of Matthew 7, so we've hit most of the verses in Matthew 7. But today's subtopic is build on the rock. Build on the rock. And you know, there are three revelations God gave me in this particular group of scriptures, and so we're going to make sure that we hit all of them today. Build on the rock, but that's what we need to do. And Jesus starts off by saying that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is one kind of person. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is another kind of person. So this is the first revelation. We all hearing. What makes you part of group one or group two is whether you do what you've been instructed to do. So obedience is truly important. It's not just that you hear what thus says the Lord, but that you do what thus says the Lord. And the challenge for a lot of us, and the challenge for us in the past, is that we hear, and we keep hearing, and we keep hearing, but faith isn't coming because we're not doing what God has said. And so either you're, when we look at these few scriptures, we're going to see either going to fall in one category or the other. But either you're one or the other. Either you hot or you cold. Either you in or you out. Either you're obedient or you're not obedient. And there are consequences to these things. Amen? So let's look at the first type of person. The wise man who built his house on the rock. Look at verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So either you are in the group that builds on the rock, or you're in the group, as in verse 26, that says, those who do not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Here's the second revelation. The rain is coming, the winds are beating, regardless. The only difference is where you built your house. Did you build it on the rock or did you build it on the sand? So all this expectation of this wonderful life in Christ, where nothing bad ever happens to you, where there are no tests, trials, and temptations, if Jesus is saying, isn't red, wasn't me. Jesus said that the rains came, descended, and the floods came. Now, if you were in South Carolina in 2015, you should have a totally different understanding of the floods at this point in life. Because what we experienced in a few days, and if you think about it, we may have had a solid week of rain, but it just kept coming and coming and coming. You can kind of understand after what happened in our state for just 3 or 4 days, how the rain came and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and destroyed everything. Because that water moves so quickly. We just lost Malcolm Jamal Warner last week. Moving water. So the rain descended, the floods came. We were right down the street from a place where the floods came very strong and killed people. It took some people out right around the corner from our house. And the winds blew and beat on the house, but it didn't fall. Or if you built your house on the sand, it fell, and great was its fall. And if you think about the construction of a house, thank you, Holy Spirit, it's a really intricate process if you're building the house right. And this scripture is not saying that the person who built on the rock built it differently than the person who built it on the sand. It was the foundation of the thing that determined whether the thing stood. So if you've ever watched a house be constructed, be it on slab or whether they have a crawl space under the bottom or whatever, that it's several months of construction. One of my favorite shows on HGTV is 100 Day Dream Home, because they really pull those houses together pretty expertly in 100 days. Even if it is 100 days, even if you take the time to construct in a short amount of time, there are a lot of intricacies. You have to have a plan. You have to have the electrical. You have to have your plumbing plan. Things have to be approved. It has to go according to certain guidelines. And the difference is not the time that was spent in building the house, but whether it was built on the right foundation. Because the same conditions happen to one person or the other. It's just whether you built it on the right thing. And if you're listening to what Jesus is really saying, it's not your effort to build. It's what you've built on and how you have deceived yourself if you built on the sand to thinking that it was even worth to invest to build in that way because you knew it was going to fall apart. It wasn't going to be able to withstand because of the foundation it was built on. And so when we think about the rock, we know that the rock is Jesus Christ. The rock in Greek is the word Petra. And it's really here and in some of the context in the New Testament talking about a mass of rock. So it's not talking about the little pebble. When Jesus calls Peter a rock and changes his name, Peter, Petra, y'all get it now. And changes his name and says, on you I will build my church. He wasn't talking about the big rock. So the big rock has to refer to God. It has to refer to Jesus Christ. And so as we are building on the rock, we have to choose to build on that firm foundation and not build on sand. Flip over to Luke chapter 6 very quickly. Luke chapter 6. Because Matthew's account of this and Luke's account of this are slightly different. Same Jesus speaking, different perspectives. Amen. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And I want you to read verse 46, and then we're going to pause, and then I'll read the rest. Luke 6, 46 on the count of three. One, two, three. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Give God a praise offering. Matthew was very kind in his account. Luke, the physician, is like, hey, Jesus said, why you calling me Lord, Lord, like you love me, but you don't do things I say? It really is a matter of obedience. Look at verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. When you are obedient to Christ, then you build on the rock. If you're not obedient to Christ, you're not building on him. And so in this account of it, he is saying, it's like you dig deep to find the rock to build your house on. So when we're making decisions for our life, we have to dig deep and make sure that the foundation for which we are deciding to do those things are coming, one, out of a space of obedience to what God has called us to do, and two, that it aligns with what God's will is, because that's what the digging deep is really all about. Look at verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And you have to start thinking, why is the ruin so great? If it was built on sand, it's because you fooled yourself into thinking that it was secure. You invested the same amount of materials, the same amount of money, the same amount of time, and there is nothing to show for it. I think maybe a year ago or so at this point, they had the floods that were happening in Tennessee, and you could see the houses going down the river, but there was one person who built their house literally on a rock. And I'm not sure if they understood that they had built on a rock. Maybe they just thought they built in a particular place, but they were blessed when they bought their house because it was built on the rock. And the streams came and the wind and the rain came, but the house did not fall. It's still there. It's the only house still there because everything around it was built on sand, but it was built on the rock. As you are looking at your life, you begin to see whether the decisions you have made have been in obedience to what God is telling you, and whether you have built on a rock or whether you have built on sand. And sometimes we build things on sand because we're not obedient to what God has told us to do. And because we were able to complete the construction, for some reason we assume God's just going to stop us. And we're not going to be able to complete. That's going to be his intervention of grace and mercy. But sometimes you build your house and it falls. You have built yourself, even though the word of God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there can be food. There is evidence, Old Testament and New Testament, to tithing. We understand the benefit of giving. Then we continue to choose not to tithe. We decide to give 5% instead of 10%. And we do it consistently, so we think that people think, because we actually think this is about what people think. Like, we just paying attention and making notes of what you're giving into the kingdom of God. I don't know at all. I ain't in the office. So when I look at you, I surely do not know. Sometimes when I'm in the classroom and I have taught in the past, it's not until about midterm where I have to count the cost of these kids' grades that I actually align the grades with the names and the faces. Because it's not until midterm that I know who these kids are. Oh, you're the one who is struggling. You're the one who is passing. You've done your work consistently. It's not until I count the cost of the work that you've done, you got to put two and two together. Ain't nobody checking for you like that. That's between you and the Lord. But the Lord knows. He knows you've been robbing him. He knows. If you know, you know. If you've only never tithed or missed a tithe or decided to misappropriate money God told you to give and suffer the consequences of it, then you understand building your house on sand, because your whole financial situation crumbles. And then what happens? You have to build on the rock. You have to grow and mature in the things of God. You have to learn. Thank God for his grace and mercy for the opportunity to learn. Some people don't get it. Their fall is so great, and they don't get another chance. They don't have that relationship. They have not confessed and believed. There's no cover or protection. There's no learning curve for them. It is a blessing. Even though it feels like everything falling away is a curse, it's a blessing for you because you got to live through it. And give God another opportunity to show himself strong in your life and in your situation. It's very, very different. You got to build on the rock. You have to make choices, and you must be obedient. Amen? Turn over to Luke chapter 11, since we're over here. Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 27. I want you to read verse 28. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read 27. I want you to read 28. If you're there, say, I have it. Okay. Luke 11, 27. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. Begin. Give God a praise offering for the word. So Jesus is out there in them streets doing what he's supposed to do, ministering to the people. And a woman is talking back to him in the crowd. And I'm sure that she thought she was paying him the highest compliment. She said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. Thank God for your mother. And Jesus replies, more than that. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So if you want to be blessed, blessings are attached to hearing and keeping the word of God. And the Amplified, it says, but he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it. You have to obey and practice the word of God to receive the blessings, the blessed, happy, envious state to find yourself in. So when we're looking at Matthew chapter 7 and we're talking about building houses, you are blessed because you're obeying the word of God. You're building on the rock in obedience to the word of God, not based on what you feel. And when I was doing the research in the Matthew Henry commentary, it says, observe, it is not enough to hear Christ's sayings and understand them. So it's not just about hearing and understanding, because we can spend a lot of time trying to hear and understand the word of God and think that we have won a victory. And he said, hear them and remember them. Sometimes we think that recalling these memory scriptures back is building our house on the rock, and it's really not. Hear them and talk of them so we can hear the word of God, encourage someone else in the word of God, and just be disqualified ourselves because we're not obedient to the word of God. Hear of them, talk of them, repeat them, dispute for them. But until we hear and do, we are not building on the rock. And a lot of us are hearing and we feel like we understand. We're hearing and we will go to work and tell somebody what the pastor said on Sunday, or tell our families what the pastor said on Sunday. We will hear and repeat, but until you do, you're not walking by faith. You're not building on the rock. You have fooled yourself into thinking that you're being obedient, and you're not. Hearing and understanding the word of God is not obedience to the word of God. Until you put that action behind it, it don't matter. So you got to understand today that the blessing is accompanied with the doing and not just the hearing. And a lot of us will come in this building and we'll sit down and think by the virtue of the fact that we got here on time that we're getting a special award. And we're not. Amen. Supposed to be here. But you got to do what is said in the word of God. So when we look back at these Beatitudes we've been looking at for the last several months, or really this whole year, and we go back to Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus says, you're the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they can see my good works. If you're not letting his light shine before men so that others can see his good works and glorify God in them. If you're stealing all the credit for all the things that God is doing in your life, if you never give him the praise and you never give him the glory, then you're being disobedient. He has called you to take his light, and you got to take it whether you feel like it or not, because to build on the rock is obedience. And you wonder why you always feel like you're not celebrated. You wonder why you always feel like you're not recognized. You wonder why people always steal your shine, because you haven't let his light shine through you, and you've deceived yourself. You built on sand. You spend a lot of time working hard at your job. And you're still not getting credit. You're still getting laid off. You still get passed over for promotions. And you're wondering what's going on, because you're not about the business of letting his light shine. If somebody asked me, all glory to God, God did that. How did you write that report? God did it. I know he did it. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. How did you pull all that together? It's through him I live and move and have my building. Glory to God for the things that he has done. Just the little things. We had a lesson not too long ago talking about judging people. It's not just about understanding that we're not supposed to judge people, but not judging people. And you heard that word, and you've been judging people every week since. Every day, somebody gets judged by you. You're not about that business of not judging people, of asking the Lord to really dig the thing out of you that makes you want to judge other people, to give it over to him. Judgment is for him, not for me. I don't even have to do it. Lord, make me swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, in Matthew, it tells you to love your enemies in this Sermon on the Mount. You're supposed to be doing good to those that hate you and despitefully use you. You're supposed to, and you've been hating back on people ever since. You hear the word, and then you don't do it. You're building on sand. And you wonder why you ain't got no friends you can trust. You wonder why your family betrays you. You wonder why you can't bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because you're too busy judging them. They're not worthy of Jesus. Who are you to say? You better watch yourself. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works. You can't work or earn your way into salvation. The more you know, the more you see the grace of God operating on your behalf every single day. That's how you built your house on the rock. You know you ain't nothing. You ain't doing nothing. And without him, you can't do anything. And so you walk that way, and then you look at other people and say, hate that they're going through that. Let me pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Let that person who has betrayed you on your job, let the first response be, that's when you know you're building on the rock. I had to pray for some people last year who were despitefully using me. I just had to turn to prayer first because I've done the whole talk about judge them thing so many times that I know it's not producing the results because they keep acting a fool. So let me just give this over to God. Let me be the light, give him the glory and the honor, and keep it moving. Let him fight the battle. I don't need to do it. Let him handle it. Turn over to James chapter 1. The blessing comes with the doing, not just the hearing. Can't just hear, gotta do. James chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 22 and 25. Not that 23 and 24 aren't good. Catch them on your own time. Amen. If you're in James chapter 1, say, I have it. Okay, I'm going to read verse 22, and I want you to read verse 25 with me. Amen. James 1, 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 25, let's begin. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Give God a praise offering for the word. And the Amplified of James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. So when you hear the word and you don't do the word, you have already put yourself in opposition to the truth. The truth is God said what he said, and he expects you to do what he said. And any rationale that goes against that is against him. But you deceive yourself. You deceive yourself. The word says, be diligent or study to show yourself approved to God. But you like, I'll just read my Bible every once and again. I'm going to read my lesson right before. Even though we know that studying makes ourselves approved to God. And we know that we are learning, maturing in the things of God on a spectrum. So no, you're not going to go from being saved to reading your word hours a day. Nobody's having an expectation of that. But you know you should probably read your lesson on Tuesday before class on Wednesday. That if you wait till Wednesday, you're going to set yourself up to fail and not get your lesson done or your lesson read. And so if you set a purpose in your heart to do it on Tuesday, you'll know you always have it done by Wednesday. If you do it on Sunday and Tuesday, you get two readings, and then you get a repetition of the word of God, because the word of God says to be diligent, to be approved unto God, study. And so study involves repetition. If you had to learn, and I was talking to one of my friends on Friday about this, we're both English teachers, and we've been talking about how AI is impacting our discipline, because students are going to AI. We as teachers hate AI. We're not even learning about the tool, and we haven't taught them how to properly use the tool and what is important really about writing that we want to teach versus what they can put into ChatGPT and get out. And it's a struggle, because as a discipline, we are not on one accord about what to do. And so going back in the classroom is a struggle, because we taught this tool, and I told her, I said, calculators did the same thing to math many years ago. And if you are a calculator baby, it's okay, it's not your fault. Because you don't know better. But if you're not a calculator baby and you had to figure out math for yourself, and you know 4 quarters make a dollar and 8 quarters make $2, then you know 8 divided by 200 is 25, because you know how money is made. You know, my mama had plenty of Tootsie Rolls, because my dad liked to eat Tootsie Rolls. And so she would take the empty things. If you ever bought Tootsie Roll in the canister, there's a little money thing. And so we have all these Tootsie Rolls with money in our house. And so that's how she taught us math, with money. Can I get an amen? That's my nephew back there. Even he caught the money lessons, because understanding how money works together helps you to understand math a lot more quickly, because there is a tangible representations of ones, fives, tens, 25s, and dollars. But the problem is kids swipe. They tap. They don't write checks. They don't deal with cash. They have no understanding of how cash works. And so when it comes to basic math, the memorization of your times tables is not important anymore. But what people have forgotten is that you're not using that skill to memorize and commit things to memory. And then students don't know how to study. And yes, we want them to study, as we like to say in education, in Bloom's taxonomy. So we want them to do the basics, and we want them to put things together too. But we focus too much on the putting things together, and then they don't know how to do the basics. The Word of God says, study to show yourself approved. The Word of God says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which means you can't sit in your house and not read your book aloud or read the Bible aloud, because your faith comes by hearing. It's a principle. And we want to skip the principle, and we build our house on sand. So I got up this morning, and I was trying to look something up on the computer quickly, because it's easier to do that. And my link to my Strong's Concordance was down. And I'm like, what? Because it has not happened. But guess what? Beside my desk, I have a Strong's Concordance and a Smith Bible Dictionary. So I picked them up off the floor because I know the basics. The computer is nice, but I know how to study and review the Word of God to look it up. I'm not built on sand. I am a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. So any rationale that gets you to the point where hearing is okay and doing is not what you need to do, or that you have time, that's the other thing we fool ourselves with, that we shouldn't obey immediately. We should do it right away. We should be about the business of doing it. If we are delaying, that's not the truth that we need to be following. Look at verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, if you do it, is not a forgetful hearer. If we delay, we forget what we heard. It's just like y'all do with them kids. Go take the trash out. Your expectation is for them to move immediately and go take the trash out. And when they don't, sometimes there are consequences. Depending on what area you grew up in, it could be a shoe to your head. Boy, didn't I tell you, girl, didn't I tell you to do what I say and follow my command immediately. We can understand that in the flesh, but with the things of God, we want to be able to hear and have all these touchy-feely. So the next time you tell your kid to do something and they delay, just remember, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. Extend a little grace to the child, because they're doing what you do. I really believe that's half of the expectation my parents had toward obedience, because they were obedient to the things of God. They did what they were supposed to do, so they expect me to do the things I'm supposed to do. And some of us are living that hypocritical life in front of our family. We say things and we don't follow up. Do what I say, not what I do. That's not a godly principle. We're supposed to do when we are instructed. And so verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If you are not being blessed in what you do, you're being a hearer and not a doer. It is what it is. You looking back over your life, okay, Lord, why isn't this happening to me? Because you want God to move on your behalf, but you don't want to be obedient to what he told you to do. Whether it's in the Word of God or the things that he's spoken to you through the Holy Spirit. And you know the Holy Spirit be, if you really allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in all truth, he is talking to you at all times because you're fostering that relationship. You're talking to him. You wake up in the morning, you talk to the Lord. You wait for the Lord to speak back to you. The Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you. I find that he leads and guides in all things. Turn left instead of turning right to save me an hour or two on my journey because I got away from traffic instead of driving into traffic. Don't say nothing to this person when they talk to you. Just be quiet. Don't argue. Hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battles. Say something to this person. This is where the disobedience comes. Say something to edify this person. Say something to lift up this person. Or for me lately, answer that call. Answer the call. I see who it is. I got a phone call last night at 9:45. I was like, really? Having y'all learn 9 to 9, don't call me after 9. And I really had gotten a bath and everything. I was in my pajamas, ready to get in the bed. You know, I'm getting ready for Sunday. I have to shut things down. I don't be going out on Saturday night. And the phone rings. The Holy Spirit was like, answer it. I didn't want to, but I had to because he told me to. My rules be put to the side because I needed to talk to or minister to that person. I was answering calls all last week. I love to send the people the voicemail just to try to get a little peace in the day because the phone just rings and rings and rings. I told Diane yesterday, if your phone ring one more time, girl, it's ridiculous. It's like everybody decided to call her between 2 and 6 o'clock. Her phone was waking me up. And we in different rooms. So you have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he says to do, to move, to speak, to give, to touch, to pay, to lay hands on, because you have to be obedient. And when you are, you will be blessed in all you do. And the Amplified, it says, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Your blessing is connected to your obedience. Your blessing is not connected to your offering. Because some of us understand the principles of tithes and offerings, and we think we just put an extra $50 on it, and the Lord gonna move on our behalf, and he's waiting for you to be obedient. Not to give him more money, but to do what he says to do. No matter what it is. You wonder why your blessings have stalled. You wonder because you're building on sand. You're deceiving yourself. The word says be doers and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you're hearing only and not following up with the doing, you're lying to yourself. You go to the doctor tells you, you can't eat carbs, you should stay away from the whites, your rice, your sugar, your flour. Stay away from those things. Go to your leafy greens and your protein. And you hear, and you go get a rice bowl from Chipotle because you have decided that since Chipotle has fresh ingredients that they provide from day to day, that somehow their rice is holy and sanctified and is healthy. And you don't even get the brown. You get the white, because actually, tell the truth, the white tastes better. Yes, it does. That's why you go to Chipotle. and then you wonder why you can't stop gaining weight, you're deceiving yourself. You wonder why you still got these diabetes. You've deceived yourself. You've heard, but you're not doing. Stop lying to yourself and be obedient to what you know to do. We can even accept that from the doctor, but won't accept it from the Lord. The Lord told you to love your enemies. And you still, you like, okay, I won't hate them. But I'm not loving them. How you not love or hate, is love or hate? You ain't figured that out yet? You either love them or you hate them. You can't be indifferent to your enemies. You have to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Yeah, all that, all the 1 Corinthians. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Can you imagine somebody who's been coming for you that you have to confess out of your mouth that you believe the best of who they are? That's loving your enemy. You don't even want to do that? Mm-mm. I just won't say nothing. You're here, but you're not a doer. Because God hasn't called you just not to say nothing. He's called you to say nice things about that person. To bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's what the word, Jesus said that. I didn't say that. I mean, they killed the man. And y'all forget. They were coming for Jesus relentlessly for 3 years of ministry. They were always trying to hem him up. And he loved them anyway. Because he knew the sacrifice of his life was going to be for them too. So who are you to hold a grudge against somebody that don't even have power and control over your life? And let them dictate your blessing because you refuse to be obedient because you won't get out of yourself. Matthew 7 says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. You want to be foolish your whole life? Who built his house on sand, the sand that you can continue to hate people and not love people with the love that God gave you. That's sand. And you wondering what's happening to your blessings? Obedience is tough, folks. It ain't easy. But God called us to it, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to continue to walk in obedience. And if you are really honest about how you get so far from where God has called you to be, you take several steps, several opportunities in a row to walk away from obedience from the things of God. It ain't just one time. You do it over and over and over to the point where you're comfortable being in that particular kind of disobedience and sin. But think about how easy it is to turn that around. All you got to do is build your house. You just have to believe that God's way is better than your way, that his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, that he knows the beginning from the end, that he is Alpha and Omega, that he has provided a path for you to get where you need to be. You just have to trust him more than others. Now, Matthew 6 already told you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. That's that peace that passes all understanding. Everybody likes to use it in relationship to money, but it's peace, it's joy. It is functional relationships with your family, it's healing, it's your job, it's everything, all things. He said, don't worry about it. I got you. If I can clothe the lilies, if I can take care of the birds, I can take care of you. And he made us to be human beings. He knew we were complex and complicated. He knew we had these emotional things going on. He made us with emotions. He can handle that too. He can take care of that too. You just gotta believe him, amen? So build on the rock. You won't know if you've built on the rock or the sand until the rains and the winds come. So you're trying to see, well, did I build on the rock or the sand? Let the test, trial, and tribulation come and see whether you are standing or not. And if it's saying it's okay, confess your sins, he'll forgive your sins, and start over. And if it's the rock, then you know, and you'll be more convinced next time to always build on the rock. Hebrews 11:1 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, or Hebrews 11:6, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We know it, we just don't believe it. God rewards those who seek him. And if we're supposed to be seeking him first, he rewards those who seek him first. Which means even though you want to get that extra 15 minutes of sleep, Lord, I'm going to seek you first before I meet my needs, or I'm going to rearrange my day so I can better appropriate my needs to you. We have to. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And take the opportunity to look back at your life and notice when you've built yourself on the rock. Look around you. If you haven't realized this, Steadfast and Unmovable Ministries was built on a rock. As y'all said last week, the winds came and the rain came in 2020 and it blew and the house ain't come down. We still here doing the work. And so if for no other reason than knowing that being here and being a part of this ministry is rock building, because our founders dug down in the foundation and built us on a rock. Because we still here. And some people thought we wasn't going to be here. They were trying to buy our building and our properties. They didn't think we were going to survive. They didn't know what was going on. But we know. And so we have to make sure that we built on the rock. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word.